Turn to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. In one sense, our spirits are lifted today after seeing how people in Charleston, those victims and people in Charleston, their families responded to the crisis and the heinous thing that happened there. We're sorrow for the families, but we praise the Lord for the way they responded. On the other hand, our spirits, some Christians, I think hopefully most Christians, spirits are somewhat subdued today because of the Supreme Court ruling. We were hoping that they would see it differently, but they didn't. And they're telling us, get used to it. It's the law now. It is the law. Sometimes events that take place, whether it be on a local level, state level, or national level, dictates what we must address or we feel like we must address. It was true in the Old Testament days, when the prophets of old spoke to what the people were doing and what they were doing wrong and trying to lead them back to God. They were rebelling against God. And the prophets warned them, told them what was going to happen if they didn't turn back to God. With that being said, next Sunday, I plan to deal with what happened in the Supreme Court's decision. And I encourage you to come. Bring your Bibles. But I don't want you to take my word for it. I don't want you to say, well, that's your opinion. I want you to see what God says. And if you have problems with that, then I can't help that. But I feel like that we need to at least, and the way I'm going to approach it, is to talk about how we got here. How did we get to this point? How did we get to the place where such a decision would be made? How did we get here? That's what I, if Lord willing, want to talk about next Sunday. But for today, let's look at why do people do evil things? Why do people do evil things? Look at Mark chapter 7, verse 21. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts. Adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, all these evil things come from within and defile the man. And in Romans 3:23, you probably know it by heart, says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And then 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." We're all aware that Wednesday night, June the 17th, the church down in Charleston, a young man went in to what was a prayer meeting. And according to the reports, this young man sat there for an hour during Bible study, listening to the Bible being taught. And when it was announced that it was time to pray, he pulled a gun, and from what I can read and hear, he said to this group, "I'm going to give you something to pray about." And he started firing. And he shot his victims multiple times. Heartless, heinous act on the part of this young man, killing 9 innocent people. Innocent people who were in the house of the Lord praying, doing Bible study, or about to pray and do Bible study. Now the question many are asking, what would cause a person, what would cause this young man and people like him to do such heinous things? Well, we know that this young man will be studied. Already, people are looking at him and trying to dig up something in his life that would cause him to do that. I'm sure that psychologists, human behaviors will come in and examine him to try to probe and get into his mind and try to get into his heart, probing, trying to see something that would trigger something like this, or cause this man to do this. And so they'll examine him, his mind, his heart, and also they'll examine his phone, his computer, his family life, where he's been, his school. All that's going to be looked at in an effort to try to figure out just what makes a man or person do something like this. So this is normally what is done. When a person does something like such heinous things, we look at the person that does it, try to figure them out. We've had other events like this. Virginia Tech, you remember? Young man went in there a few years ago, shot up a lot of people, killed a lot of people. What went wrong with that man? What would cause a man to do that? And then that massacre in that theater, Columbine, where a young man went in and shot up, killed a number of people, Newtown, Connecticut. Young man walked in and just point blank shot little innocent children. What would cause a man to do that? And then the Oklahoma bomber. What would cause him to do that? And then a man last year went into somewhere in Oklahoma workplace and beheaded a woman? What would cause them to do that? So we have people that are guilty of these kinds of crimes that this young man committed out there in Charleston. And all kinds of studies of their behavior have been done trying to figure out why these people would do such a thing. Probing, looking in their minds, looking in their emotions, trying to uncover that. I can remember when I entered college, I was signing up for courses. And I signed up for basic psychology. And I didn't think I would like it, but I signed up for it. But you know, after I got into it, the professor started teaching, and I started reading the textbook, and I learned that this psychology had to do with human behavior. Why do people behave the way they do? And not the job of the counselor or the psychologist or psychologist to try to help people who are having problems and looking into, probing into their lives to try to get to the bottom of it, find out what's happening. And I was green as grass. I didn't know. You know, and I certainly didn't know the Bible. I didn't know anything hardly about it. But I thought, man, what a revolution is taking place here. I said to myself, man, we are going to learn and be able to dig into the lives of people and find out what's causing them to act the way they do. And try to help them to understand why they're doing the way they do. And so it went on and drawed circles around. The instructor did on compartmentalizing our inside here, what goes on in there. I said, boy, this is amazing. So, you know, I took all the psychology I could. I was into that. I thought we had the answer. I thought psychology was the answer. Until I finished school. And I had the opportunity to try to put some of that in practice. It didn't work. So I had to go to some other way of trying to find out why people behave the way they do. What would cause people to commit such heinous crimes as we've seen in our country and in other parts of the world, like the ISIS, who have no problem at all beheading people, shooting people point blank, and burning people alive, have no problem with that. So I got to looking at the Bible. I've been looking at it. But I found out what causes people to do what they do. And I think Jesus answers it here. Look at what he says. That which cometh out of man, that defileth man, for from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, idolatry, fornication, murders, and so on. What he's saying is that these things come from the heart of man. He said, and the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all others. And there's a three-letter word that Jesus talks about, Paul talks about, and John talks about, a little three-letter word. It's called sin. Sin is what's wrong with people who do such things. We've been looking at the sin problem on Wednesday nights in 1 John. We've been studying from there. You remember that John says that sin is a transgression of God's law. Sin is a transgression of God's law. That is, sin is breaking God's law. And so whenever we break God's law, we're sinning. And when we break God's law, we can do all kinds of things, bad things. But we're not abiding by His law. So what these people have done, this young man did, and what many others have done, they murdered people. Isn't that not breaking God's law? And is that not sin? It is. It's breaking God's law. So they're you know, sin is about absent from our vocabulary today. We call it a lot of other things. I think the big word is euphemisms. We call it a lot of things instead of calling it what it really is. You know, it's kind of like soap. You know, you can take soap and you can put deodorant in it, make it smell good. You can color it different colors, make it look good. You can put oil in it for your skin, you know. But after all is said and done, whatever we do to it, it still remains soap. Still soap. So we can do sin the same way. We can flour it up. We can smooth over it. We can do a lot of things with it, say a lot of things other than what it is. But it's still plain old sin. And that is what is wrong with us. That is what's wrong with people who do, not only these people who do these mass murders like that, but individuals do heinous crimes to one another, who abuse children, and who abuse their spouse, and who kills other people. These are people who are breaking God's law, and the problem is sin. Sin is what the problem is. So Jesus said here, evil things come from unbridled hearts. It is hearts that says, let go, let loose, let everything I want to do be done. Let me do it. Get out of the way. And let me do it. And folks, that is behind the Supreme Court ruling. Because people said, get out of the way, law. Get out of the way, God, and let me do what I want to do. And the court said, of course you can do what you want to do. And they'll do it. But it ain't right. So evil things come from the heart, and the sin problem is in there. But you say, well, where does sin come from? If it's so bad, where did it come from? Well, you go all the way back to the first book of the Bible. Paul says, by one man, sin entered into the world. By one man, sin. They're talking about Adam. So you go all the way back to the first book, and Adam and Eve rebelled against God. They disobeyed God, and thus sin entered in. And when sin entered in, our first parents, every offspring since then on up to the day had been born with a sinful nature. We all got it. We're all in the same boat. We all have the sin nature. within us. And so that's how sin got into us. We were born with it. And you know, there's not anything we can do to get rid of it. We're born with it. We're stuck with it, if you will. And you say, well, what can I do? If I'm born with it, what can I do? If I can't do nothing about it, what can I do? What then? No, we can't. But there is one who can and did do something about it. Our only hope, our only remedy was through faith in Jesus Christ. Paul said, for God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet, what? Sinners. He died for us. So we all got it. But Jesus came to deal with that. And that's what he specifically came to do, to deal with sin in the human race. Because it all of us got it. You see, Jesus said, for God so loved the world. Everybody's got it. He sent his son to die for the whole world. Because everybody's in the same boat. We're all sinners. Paul says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, he says. So the remedy for sin is Jesus Christ. Oh, you see, when he went to the cross, when he was nailed to the cross, our sins were nailed to the cross. And he took them on himself. He suffered there for us. He suffered that we wouldn't have to. So he took your sins and mine with him on the cross. That's why he died, that we wouldn't have to spend eternity in a devil's hell where all who do not trust him will go. Lord Jesus is the answer to the sin problem. John writes, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. That's our only way. Someone says, well, don't tell me I got to trust Jesus. Don't tell me I got to do the most humiliating thing is to bow down to Jesus. Don't tell me something else. Let me tell you, counsel me and tell me something else. No, I got to tell you about Jesus. He's the only hope. There he is. Well, there's an interesting thing about sin. We all were sinners. And you say, well, Bobby, I still have tendencies to sin. I'm still tempted. And sometimes I yield. Sometimes I do things that I know I should not do. What's wrong with me now? Let me tell you what, I'm glad you asked that. You see, when we are saved, when we trust Jesus as our Lord and Savior, the sin nature is not eradicated. We still have it. Okay? We still have it. You say, well, what's different then? I'm glad you asked that. Because, you see, when we trust Jesus as our Lord and Savior, his Spirit is given to us and his love is shed abroad in our hearts. So then, a war begins within us between the Spirit of God and our human spirit, The old sin nature tries to keep on doing what it was used to doing before we came to Jesus. But the Holy Spirit is there and checking us and helping us to and giving us direction whenever we're tempted. He said, uh-uh. Before, we didn't have him to tell us that. So we just went on and yielded to the temptation. But now he says, I'm checking you. There's a little voice in there that gives us a nudge to know. We have someone added to our lives. And so Jesus continues to be the remedy for sin in the life of Christians. Because if we listen to him and read his word, then we will know what's right and wrong. If we listen to him and not yield to the temptation, it'll be there for us. Satan is not happy that we came to Jesus. And he's going to do everything he can to keep us from being a good witness for Jesus. He can't destroy us. But he sure caused a lot of things to go wrong. So that's the remedy. Jesus, the remedy for salvation and for continued living in him. That's why it's important to keep praying to Jesus, keep studying his word, and keep worshiping him, and keep on looking to Jesus. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what the writer of Hebrews says, keep your eyes on Jesus. You know, Isaiah named his sin. When he got before God, you know, that's what John tells us about, you know, what we as Christians are to do. He says, we as Christians, we confess our sins. He'll be faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we confess them to Jesus and he forgives as Christians. Confess them specifically. Isaiah said, my sin is I'm a man of unclean lips. We know what our sin is. We confess it to Jesus. So, people need the Lord. That's what's wrong with our world. That's what's wrong in our country. That's what's wrong with people that do such things as we've been talking about, is sin in their lives. And we look upon them and we wonder about them. But you know, when I look upon them, I have to say, were it not for the grace of God, that could be me. Were it not for the grace of God, that could be me doing those evil things. But thank God. Thank God. One day Jesus came into my life, delivered me, saved me. Give me hope and direction in life. I like that old hymn. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean. But glory to God, he loves me and he loves you and he loves all these people doing these heinous things. That's why he came into the world, to help people like that. Is Jesus your Savior today? Is he your Lord and Master? If you're here today and you never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I invite you to do that. Jesus wants you to do that. That's why he came to suffer so much. If you're here today, you've never trusted him, we invite you to come and receive Jesus into your life. Just come and say, yes, Lord, I realize I'm a sinner. I'm lost. And I want you to forgive me for my sin. I believe that you died for me. You come. You may feel the need of another decision, some other decision. You come. Rededication. Whatever you need to come for, you come. As we sing our hymn, number 490.